Well, thank you, Pastor, and what a delight to be back with you. Whenever I drive to through Michigan, I just enjoy how green everything is. We have been coming up to Michigan not only to visit a church like yours, but to the Maranatha Bible Conference, to the Gull Lake Bible Conference. Every other year, we're in one place or the other. This year, Slavic Gospel Association was at Maranatha. They've got a new director, and the offering this year was the greatest they've ever had as a conference, and the greatest we've ever received as a mission over there. Next year, we'll be at Gull Lake, but I enjoy coming specially over here. Because over the years, I've fallen in love with you, dear people, and I want to express my gratitude to you for all the years of your faithful support. And when you heard about the fact that a few of my faithful old supporters have passed on to glory, you picked up what was lacking, and thank you for that. Then, before we get into the Word, I just want to mention a few things that I did not mention at the Sunday school hour concerning the work. I mentioned how we are trying to reproduce ourselves, and that in all the countries where we work, we try to build up the nationals. That's why we started schools all over the place. I went to a Bible Institute in Toronto, Canada, started by the Slavic Gospel Association when I was a teenager. It was the Russian Bible Institute. We conducted it at the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. And after that, the Bible School in Argentina, where I was privileged to teach and to be the director of that school. And then later on, in every country that we have opened up or the Lord has permitted us to work, we saw the need and also the results of training the nationals to do the job. And just to give you one of the results in South America, when the Soviet Union opened up, we concentrated all our efforts into those 15 former republics of the former Soviet Union. And so we told the dear brethren and the folks at the Bible Institute in Buenos Aires that we're turning the work over to them. They took it on with fear and trembling. We had supported missionaries there. We had supported the Bible school. But we said, you are strong enough now to continue the work on your own. There were 20 churches, evangelical churches, as a result of the work at the time when we turned it over to them. We told them that if you feel that the Bible school is too much for you, you want to close it, that's up to you. Keep the property, use it for whatever you feel you would want as a headquarters or something. And then we're turning the missionaries we've been supporting over to you. Well, as I mentioned, they took it over with fear and trembling. A couple of years ago, I went back to Argentina. Over the years, I went every few years just to check on the work while we were involved, and then I went to check after we were involved there. And here's what I found on my last trip. There were 20 churches when we turned it over to them, but all the students we had prepared spread out over the La Plata Republics, Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, southern Brazil, where we had Slavic immigrants that had settled down. The results, they continued the Bible school. It's going strong, 75 years old now, and all in the Spanish language. because that's the direction it's going. It's no longer the Russian Bible Institute, but Instituto Biblico Temperley. And I found out another thing. From the 20 churches, they now have 140 churches and preaching spots in those four countries. And the nationals are doing that. That is our goal, and that is our prayer for Ukraine, for Russia, for Kazakhstan, for all those other places. During the Sunday school hour, I told you about Alaska and what has happened there and how the churches we supported are now supporting us and supporting scores of other missionaries. So this is the gospel coming full circle. But added to that, the mission field has come to us. As I get older, I'm not doing as much international traveling. My children asked me some years ago, how many countries have you visited? I never was interested in counting them up. But over the years, because we had radio ministries in Quito, Ecuador, the Philippine Islands, Trans World Radio in Monte Carlo, two stations in Korea, and on, why I traveled in my responsibilities to visit those places. And so I counted up about 46 countries that I had gone to because of the ministries that we were involved in. But the important thing is this, that with the work that we were able to do in the lands where we came from, where all of the Slavic people originally came from, we want to build a church that will be reaching out not only to its own population, as Ukraine is doing right now, but also reaching out into other areas. And then we feel that we have completed our responsibilities and our job. So keep praying for us that we may be able to do that. One of the exciting things that has happened just recently was we got into an area where we had not been involved in for, about 70 years, I guess, or so, or 65 years, and that is to have an aeroplane. Our first aeroplane was in Alaska when we first started the work there. And then after that pilot left or went with another mission, we stopped any involvement with owning aeroplanes. Well, we've been very much concerned for Siberia, the fact that here is an area as vast as the United States, 15 million people, just one railway through the southern strip along the Chinese border, a highway that is impassable a good part of the year to get to Vladivostok and to the far east of Siberia. And yet all these people, and these people are a big mixture. They're not all Russians. There are Koreans there. There are Mongolians there. There are Chinese there. These are people from the countries nearby that many years ago settled in those areas. Then there are Indian tribes there, Indians similar to what we have in America, even Eskimos similar to what we find in Alaska. They're just across the Bering Straits there, and over the years, I guess they went back and forth. And so here is this challenge, this area of 15 million people that has not been reached because it's so isolated. In the summertime, the rivers can be used to reach some of those villages. In the wintertime, when the ground is frozen, you can drive with four-wheel drive over the frozen ground, but very limited. But lo and behold, SEND missions in Alaska was getting rid of a whole bunch of planes. They're cutting back on some of their work. And so 3 years ago, they told us they were going to donate three airplanes to us. And they did. They were refurbished. They were flown over, and they are in Khabarovsk, Siberia right now. A sharp young man, the son of a recent immigrant, his name is Sergei Tsvirinka, graduated from Master's Seminary, got a master's degree over there, went to Alaska and learned to fly. And he's the one that's interested in developing a ministry to reach these isolated villages throughout Siberia by air. Three of the planes are already there. He is a pilot. He found two other pilots, Christians, in Khabarovsk. And so the three planes have three pilots. SEND said they have two more planes they want to give us. So they'll have to be also refurbished and brought up to date and flown over there to develop that work. So the work continues until the Lord comes. But as far as my personal responsibilities, I'm doing a bit less international travel as I get older. My family gets a little concerned that what could happen if I'm way off in Ukraine or Russia or Siberia or someplace and something happens. They said, at your age, anything could happen. And they're right. So I have been working on a new area. Instead of going to the mission field has come to me. We have hundreds of thousands of Russian immigrants right in the United States and Canada. Many of them that came are believers. They started churches. But there are others that have to be reached. On the West Coast, we have churches from San Diego. I often speak at the church in San Diego. And all the way up through Los Angeles and Fresno and San Francisco and Oregon and into Washington State to Seattle, right up to the Canadian border. In fact, there's a Russian church on the other side of the border in Vancouver, British Columbia. And so the mission field has come here, and there's enough work for me to continue working with my own people. But they're right here in this country. They came here where it's a little more convenient for me to reach them. So continue to pray for me that I may be effective in as much as I possibly can during these days. Now I'd like to turn your attention to the Word of God. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, that's a good portion of scripture or reference to remember, 3:16. And so in 2 Timothy, that is, 3:16, we read the following. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given for that purpose, to be thoroughly equipped. That's always been my goal, and I think that's the goal of every believer. Not only to have a strong faith, a victorious Christian life, but also to be equipped for the responsibilities that God has put in our way, in our path, in our life, around our home, at work, in our state, and possibly in other parts of the world. To be thoroughly equipped, to be good for something, to be valuable for something, to be useful, thoroughly equipped. Now it mentions four items here. Two of them are strong, and I've been involved in those. One is teaching. That is to correct, to teach, to inspire, and so forth. And then training. And we have been involved in that as well. The teaching is basically to the church members, those that know the Lord, that they may be grounded, that they may grow, that they may not remain on the same plane as when they came in to the gospel, to the Lord, but that there's been a progress as they've grown in knowledge, as they've grown in spiritual strength and testimony and living for Him. So the teaching for members, for all Christians. Now, there's another area of teaching that goes a little deeper, and that's training. And I thank the Lord for the privilege that has been mine to be involved in training. Peter Danica had the vision to start that Bible Institute in Buenos Aires, Argentina. And way back in 1955, when we set out for Argentina, we stopped in Costa Rica and studied Spanish. We didn't need it that much for the ministry because all the training at the Bible school was in the Russian language at that time. But we figured if we're going to live among Spanish-speaking people, we better know the language. Well, because we already, Pauline and I already knew Russian, we were able to grasp the Spanish language a little more rapidly. There were 100 students in our class in Costa Rica where we studied Spanish. One of the students was Phil Saint, the chalk artist. Some of you may remember him, the older brother of Nate Saint, the pilot. And he and Ruth were also heading for Argentina with Word of Life. And so we learned Spanish. And I've been using it all my life because we already knew another language and phonetics and grammar. Whereas the other students, it took them a whole year to get the language. Pauline and I were ready in 6 months. And so we left the rest of them to continue poring over the books, and we headed out for Argentina. And to this day, I still preach in the Spanish language. In fact, I'll tell you something that's been really precious. I change Bibles every year when I read. This year, I am in Russian, reading the Bible in the Russian language. Next year is going to be Spanish. And the next year, I get back to English again. And when I get to English, I usually switch Bibles, different versions of the Bible. And that always gives you different hues and tones of the meaning, not only in the different versions and translations we have, but especially in the languages, because we found that the Spanish sometimes has something that we don't find in the English. Or the Russian may have something that we don't find in the English or Spanish. So that's been a blessing and something that the Lord has permitted us to be able to use for His glory. But training, because we trained those workers in Argentina, the church, the evangelical church, has grown beautifully. And the nationals are continuing the work. because of the training that we have given in Ukraine, in Minsk, Belarus, in Russia, two seminaries there. There are today not hundreds, but 6,000 graduates in just 26 years who are now reaching their own people for Christ. I noticed that somebody had spotted the doctor on Semenchuk's name. I never got a doctorate in seminary. All I got was a bachelor's degree in seminary. But the doctor's degrees are not earned. Two of the seminaries, one in Russia, one in Ukraine, they were so grateful to the mission for helping them in these training schools that they gave me two, not one, but two honorary doctorates. So they're not earned doctorates, but gifts that have been bestowed. And we have found that as the result of the training, the nationals are able to take over the work so much more rapidly. At one time, a mission moved into Russia after the Soviet Union collapsed, and they were only sending Americans. They were not interested in supporting nationals or developing the nationals. They wanted the American missionary to do all the work. And we said, but wouldn't it be much better for the country if you worked on the nationals to do the work instead of sending them all from the United States? Yes, we need the experts. We need the professors. We need the people that have knowledge in computers. We need pilots, missions that send pilots over there or do radio work, technicians and all of that. And we need teachers to train them. But why are you concerned of developing the nationals and supporting the nationals? They said, no, we only support Americans. Well, they moved into Russia, and in less than 4 years, they were all gone. And that mission is not doing anything there. But praise God for the scores of other American missionaries that are in Russia, new tribes, and other fine missions that are over there doing a good IFMA missions that are doing a great work, Send International and others of that nature. So we have the teaching and the training. But then it also mentions something here that is a little negative, and that is rebuking. Rebuking. You know, the matter of rebuking is not as pleasant as working and teaching and training. But in the church, or even in the school that I've been involved in, if it's a student that needs rebuking, pointing out the weaknesses, the problems in life, that which is a bad testimony. And we find that in all the epistles, whether it was Paul or Peter, they did a lot of rebuking. A lot of rebuking to correct the believer, to make them stronger, to make them a better witness for the Lord, to be a light. You know, it's interesting to note that in the Gospels, a number of times, Jesus Christ repeats the fact that he is the light of the world. And we have several verses in the different four Gospels that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then he also mentions, right after that in one of the Gospels, You are the light of the world. Yes, Jesus came to be the light of the world. But we then are to be the light. After we've been rebuked, after we have been shown that we need salvation, that we can't get to heaven on our own strength, that we need sins forgiven, and Christ took care of that on the cross, that this rebuking is necessary to keep the church as a light, as an example. And then the final one, correcting. It's not enough just to rebuke. I know that there are parents that rebuke their kids, but they never correct them. It's always scolding them, telling them what they did wrong, but never helping them to be able to correct whatever is the problem. Sometimes this happens in the churches where the pastor is terrific at rebuking, but when it comes to correcting and instructing, then that's weaker. But this is so important. The Christians, the brotherhood, the brothers and sisters, they need help to be corrected. And as we read the Word of God, particularly the Corinthians, where Apostle Paul takes plenty of time, yes, to rebuke, but also to correct. And so, as we look at this, we see that as we go through these four stages, we will be thoroughly equipped to be the kind of witness that we should be for the Lord. That is my prayer for you. But of course, these things are impossible or unattainable to the one whose life has not been changed. If you're not born again, if you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as the sacrifice for your sins, you can't even start in this process. So the first thing is to come to the Lord, and maybe there's someone here that hasn't made that. You've been to church, you're religious, you agree with everything, but you haven't made that step, that final one, to repent and to accept and to trust and then to grow in the Lord. And for us who are Christians, may this help us that we may get stronger, be a better light, be a better witness, and to glorify God in that way. So thank you again for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being wonderful friends all